In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. There are several Gospels that are appointed when we commemorate the dead. This is one of the ones that's read, and it's read on Tuesday and another day of the week that I don't recall right now. And when we read these Gospels, they're not only about the next life, the future, but they're also about the present. Remember, the Lord said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. So that's not a future event for us. It's an ongoing event. And so the resurrection is not a future event for us. It is an ongoing event, an ongoing reality that is ever more clearly manifested in us, how we live. That is, if we live as Christians. If we don't live as Christians, then the resurrection is just a concept, and it's just where people talk about Easter and buy candy and get bunnies and stuff. But if we are Christians, then the resurrection is this ongoing reality that we feel in our hearts. When we read these gospel selections about the resurrection, it's not only about the future. It's not only about the end of days when there is the judgment of all and there is the resurrection of all. It is about now. So for instance, we humans, including us Christians, we make a serious error. We see life in things that are not life. You might say that you don't do that. But you do, unless you are quite holy. We see life in things that are not life. We are interested in things that are not life. We derive comfort from things that are not life. We should only derive comfort from that which is good, that which is holy. So I'm speaking in broad terms here, of course. If you were to dissect my words down to the smallest participle, you could say, well, that's not true. But in general, the way we live, we should see life only in God, or in the things of God, in the where God reaches out to someone in his grace. All life is from God. There is no life outside of God. And we make this great mistake. That is why people live heedlessly. That is why they take drugs. That is why they're full of pride. That is why they live immorally sexually. That is why they have all these identities that a new one crops up every single day, because they see life in something that is not life. There's only one place where there is life, and this scripture speaks of that. It's really intensely powerful. And we should rebuke ourselves that we don't always live according to this dogma, to this fact. So he says, Jesus is speaking of the end of the age and of the resurrection. And he says, for even as the Father hath life in himself, so he also gave to the Son to have life in himself, and he gave him authority to execute judgment. And then he goes on to say things about the resurrection. The Father has life in himself, and the Son, being of one essence with the Father, also has life in himself. And the Spirit, also being of one essence with the Father and the Son, has life in himself. That's the only place there's life. No other place is there life. There is an appearance of life in other things, but it's not life. It's something that leads to death. And if we are Christians, we will understand this. You can only understand this if you live as a Christian. Because there's such a strong delusion in the world that we see things that are death as life. Only God is life. And God gives life to everyone. Of his own will, he can cause us to be alive. And there is nothing alive outside of God. So if there's anything that we do or say or a value that we have or a priority in our life or thoughts or whatever they are that are outside of God, then pretty much by definition they are dead. They are a corpse that is not yet completely rotted so that we smell its smell. It still appears to be alive to us, but it is not. It's a very good thing to read these Gospels. It's a very good thing to chant the funeral service, to chant the Panagida, to pray for the dead, because we are reminded that only in God is life. And we must remember this lesson every single day, every single moment. Otherwise, we're not alive. Now let's parse this reading a little bit. The Lord says, "Verily, verily, I say to you, that the one who heareth my word and believeth the one who sent me hath everlasting life, and cometh not into judgment, but hath passed over out of death into life." Remember what I told you. This is not only a future event that he's speaking of. He's speaking of a current event, an ongoing event. So this passing out of death into life is happening now in you. Things should be changing in you. You should be cultivating those changes and desiring these changes and begging for these changes so that the you that is now will be far inferior to the you that is a year from now, because you are passing over out of death into life. You are letting go of things that are dead and holding on to things that are alive. Now we have to understand what it means to hear the word and to believe. The sectarians, the heretics, they would say that it only means intellectually assenting that Jesus is God and some of their theology that they've concocted and that is so popular now. That is not what it means to hear the word and to believe. To hear the word and believe is to live according to who the word is. That is what hearing and believing is. Not just saying something's true. That's completely sterile, without any life whatsoever, to say something's true, but not to act upon its truth. We are Christians, and so we act upon the truth of what we believe. If we believe that God is love, then we must love. Otherwise, we say we believe, but it really doesn't matter. You could believe anything. It doesn't matter unless you live according to what you say you believe. And if you should be feeling in your life that this gradual passing over from death into life, you should feel it in your heart. If you don't feel it in your heart, then I'll tell you plainly, you're just not trying hard enough. Or something is obscuring your vision. Maybe laziness, some sin, some confusion, something. But you must, as a Christian, feel this passing over from death into life. This is what Christianity is going from something that is dead, something that is corruptible, to something that is incorruptible. That is not of our own power, but it is within our power to accept this process. We cannot cause this process, but we can subvert it. And we subvert it by not living according to who God is, by not struggling to be like Him. Now, the Lord goes on to say that, "I say to you, an hour cometh, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they who hear shall live." And then the rest that I told you in the beginning, "Even as the Father hath life in himself, so he also gave to the Son to have life in himself, and he gave him authority to execute judgment." So there, everybody's going to hear the Son of God. Everybody. Every knee is going to bow and bend. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. But that doesn't mean they will know him. They will only know about him. We should know him by living like him and having him be in our hearts. And then when we hear the voice of the Son of God, it should be a familiar voice, like the voice of a shepherd to his sheep. You can only know the voice of the shepherd if you're around the shepherd and listening to the shepherd. And so it must be with us, that we listen to the shepherd, so that when we hear that voice, it will be a sweet voice to us, and not a voice of censure, a voice which causes us to have shame. The Lord goes on to say that he is the Son of Man. That is a messianic title. It appears in Daniel, the prophet Daniel, meaning that he is incarnate, that the unincarnate Jesus, the Son of God, became incarnate in time. He was the Son of God and is the Son of God. Then he became the Son of Man because he became a man. and now is, of course, God and man in one person, two natures that are united but not mixed. That he is the Son of Man, cease marveling at this, for an hour is coming in which all those in the grave shall hear his voice and shall go forth, they who did good things to a resurrection of life, and they who practiced bad things to a resurrection of condemnation. Now, how in the world can people say, all you got to do is say, I believe in Jesus and you're saved? This is a direct contradiction to that. If you believe something, you live according to what you say you believe. If we believe in a good God, then we will strive to be good. If we believe in a merciful God, then we will strive to be merciful. And if we believe in a God who is love, then we will strive to love. If we don't strive to do those things, then we are hypocrites and we don't really believe in God. Now, what is this good and bad things, though? Should that frighten us? I suppose it's good for some people to be frightened. But I think it's better for all people to be attracted to God's love and to this passing over from death to life that is occurring in their hearts. So instead of doing things because we fear punishment, we do things because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. That's how we should live. And so these good things and bad things, the good things are the things of life, and the bad things are the things of death. Perhaps we have bad habits, perhaps we have bad sins. All right? God can forgive anything, but he won't forgive if we are not kind. He won't forgive that. If our sort of inclination to life is self-centeredness, thinking of ourselves, not loving other people, then we're not like him at all. The 25th chapter of Matthew makes that pretty clear. So this is the major good thing that we must do. We must love our fellow man as God loves us. And as far as our other sins, a very good friend of mine said regarding our sins and the end of life, I wish I could imitate his accent, a clipped German accent. It does not matter, it does not matter, it does not matter. What matters is, are you striving to live according to who God is? If you are, then you can have some great confidence that God will receive you. If you're not, I don't care what you know. I don't care what you do. A person cannot be saved if they're indifferent to who God is. May God help us to live this life that the Scripture is telling us about. This resurrection that is occurring in us right now. Not later, but right now. May God help us to know what is life and what is death. To always choose that which is life. May God help us to do good and to avoid evil. And may God resurrect all of us so that we can be in paradise. Amen.